Okay, last week, we started talking about the ministry, the work, the baptism of John the Baptist, and how that related to the church and some other things as well. We noted last week that John was a person specially chosen for his mission. To lesser degrees, perhaps, but we're all chosen, you know, for some mission. We're all where we are for a reason. You know, we came to the kingdom for a time such as this in God's providence. But John's was special. John had been prophesied in the Old Testament, we saw, in numerous places. And it was noted specifically that his ministry was a fulfillment of those Old Testament prophecies. And beyond that, the angel had explained to his father, Zechariah, that John's ministry was more than what had been revealed even in the Old Testament. Not only was he to prepare the way of the Lord and to make his path straight, but he was also to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And John's ministry was, again, to preach the gospel and to baptize those that, by God's grace, believed, as we saw in John 1:6, where it was said of John, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. And then John testified of the ministry that he had been given of God when he says, he that sent me to baptize with water. And then the Lord himself confirmed that ministry of John, and specifically the baptism of John, as he spoke to the Pharisees and spoke of John's authority. You know, the Pharisees wanted to know about Christ's authority, and he said, well, you tell me what you think about John's authority, and they wouldn't answer. The Lord was confirming the authority that John had upon him from heaven. Beyond that, the Lord himself received the baptism of John. He walked some 40 miles to be baptized of the Lord. And with John, and we got started here, I think, last week, with John began the New Testament era. With John began, if you want to try to break things in ages, you know, the church age. It was during the ministry of John that the bridegroom appeared with the bride, as we looked in John 3:29. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This, my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. With John began the church era. During the ministry of John, based upon the ministry of John, who had prepared a people for the Lord, began the church era, began the Lord's church. We look in Mark 1 and verse 1, and many will try to say John was an Old Testament figure, and it helps to fit into to their theology and sometimes into their ecclesiology, you know, their doctrines of the church and some other things. But clearly the New Testament points out that John's ministry was the beginning of the gospel era. Mark 1, verse 1, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John did baptize in the wilderness and preach the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea and they of Jerusalem. They were all baptized of him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sins. And John was clothed with camel's hair and with a girdle of his skin about his loins. And he did eat locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, there cometh one mightier than I, after me, the latch of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and loose. John preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. Folks say, well, John, they try to say John was preaching a different message. Well, John preached the same message that the Lord preached. If we look in Matthew 3 and verse 1, we see the message that John preached. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness, saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Well, what did the Lord preach? We just go over to the next chapter. It's not too complicated. In Matthew 4, verse 17, "From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" The same messages. John's message was no different from the Lord's. John preached the gospel, and those that by the grace of God and under the power of the Holy Spirit believed, received, as emblematic of their belief, the baptism of John, and became a prepared people. John pointed his own disciples, those that followed him, those that received his message, John pointed them to Christ. As we see that verse again above where he said the latchet of whose shoes he wasn't worthy to touch, that there was one coming. And in Acts 9:19 and verse 4 we see, "Then said Paul, 'John barely baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, Christ Jesus.'" John preached that folks should believe on Christ Jesus. He preached the gospel. In John 1 and verse 35, we see again an example of John's ministry. In John 1 and verse 35, "Again, the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God.' And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus." That was John's ministry, to point men to Christ, to make them followers of Christ, not of John. "Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, 'What seek ye?' And they said unto him, 'Rabbi,'" which is to say, being interpreted, "Master, 'where dwellest thou?' And he saith unto them, 'Come and see.' And they came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother." See, Andrew was a disciple of John, and he was looking for the Messiah. And when John says, "Behold the Lamb of God," they know that this is the one that John was speaking of, and they begin to follow him. And there were others than just these two, of course, that were disciples and followers of John. "And one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, and he first findeth his brother Simon, and saith unto him, 'We have found the Messiah,'" which is being interpreted, the Christ. Why did Andrew go to his brother Peter? Because Peter was also a disciple of John. The scriptures make it clear where we saw the qualifications to be a disciple of the Lord was beginning with the baptism of John. Peter had been a disciple of John, had received Christian baptism, and was looking for the Messiah. And when Andrew has John the Baptist pointed out, he goes and finds his brother and brings him, that they might see that which John had preached about and that which they had believed. You know, all these sermons you hear about Andrew going and getting his brother and bringing him to Christ, and then he got saved. Brother, these folks were already believers. These folks were already baptized believers. They were already looking for the Messiah. And when he came, you know, they received him with joy and they began to follow him. John prepared a people for the Lord. John baptized those that put their faith in the coming Messiah. And when the coming Messiah came, he pointed those people to him. And it was from those disciples of John, if you wish to call them that, those baptized believers, that Jesus Christ formed his church. That was the people prepared for the Lord. Say, John's ministry, he sent me to baptize. John's ministry to prepare people for the Lord, to preach the gospel and to baptize those that believed. And the Lord called out from that prepared people his own disciples to form his church during his earthly ministry. I will talk more about that. Not on the day of Pentecost. You know, not forever and ever. I think the scriptures indicate that the Lord formed his church. He formed it from a prepared people. John 1, back in verse 35 again. Again, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, "What seek ye?" And they said unto him, "Rabbi," which is to say, being interpreted, "Master, where dwellest thou?" And they said unto, and he saith unto them, "Come and see." And they came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, and it was about the 10th hour. One of the two, which heard John speak and followed him, was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, "We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said unto him, "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas," which is by interpretation a stone. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, "Follow me." See, the Lord gathers together these disciples that follow him, a body of baptized believers. Now, Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, "We have found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write." Brethren, all the scriptures are about Jesus Christ. They all point to Jesus Christ. And those who have had their eyes open see this. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, "We have found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said unto him, "Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Philip saith unto him, "Come and see." You see, Nathanael, you know, had looked at the scriptures and had his own understanding of them, and he really didn't understand all the background of Christ. He had, of course, he'd been born in fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies. He'd been born in Bethlehem. He'd fulfilled all those things, but all Nathanael knew is, you know, here was Jesus of Nazareth, and so he says, "Come," he says, "I don't, how can he be the one?" Until the Lord opens folks' eyes, because he didn't know, he didn't understand. And Jesus saw Nathanael coming unto him and saith of him, "Behold, an Israelite in whom there is no guile." Nathanael saith unto him, "Whence knowest thou me?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee." Nathanael answered and saith unto him, "Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel." Jesus answered and said unto him, "Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these." And he saith unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." The Lord called out his disciples, beginning there around the banks of the Sea of Galilee. He called those prepared people. He formed them into his church. You know, by definition, a church is a body of baptized believers covenanted together to carry out the commands of Christ. That has been declared a church by another organ. No, that doesn't say that. It's a body of baptized believers. Now, you can't have a church without a body of baptized believers. John was sent on a special mission from heaven to do that. But we've added some other things around it now, or some folks have, you know. And, you know, they got to be declared so. They got to be coming out from some mother church. And, you know, we won't get into all that. I think there's a lot of confusion out there and things that, you know, can't be maintained, either biblically or historically. But that's all right. I think, you know, those folks are still are still trying to do right, and they're still the Lord's church. And there might be a couple things where we don't completely understand, too. I understand that. But the Lord formed His church, a body of baptized believers, covenanted together to carry out the commands of Christ. Historically, that's been the Baptist understanding of what a church is. But again, over the years, it seems to be that things have been kind of added to it. The Lord, as he pulled them out, as He called them out. There are some folks who place, you know, the actual beginning a little bit later, and you know, I won't necessarily argue with them. I think it was just when He first started to call them out, where two or three are gathered. Some place it after the night of prayer that the Lord had on a mountain. We read it in Luke 6 and verse 12. And it came to pass in those days that He went out into a mountain to pray, and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, He called unto Him His disciples, and of them He chose 12, whom He also named apostles. So that night of prayer there we see in Luke 6, He gathers together, and then He calls those 12 and names them apostles. We read in 1 Corinthians 12:28, which I think again is a reference to this verse. And God hath set some in the church first apostles. And God has set some in the church first apostles. Well, it seems to me actually that night, if that's the night that He set the 12 in the church, then He must have already formed the church. You know, and by the its basic definition, a body of baptized believers covenanted together to carry out the commands of Christ. He formed His church, and that night, after prayer, He set some in the church, first apostles. It was the Lord's doing, and it's the Lord's church, and the Lord built His church. Certainly, the Lord must have had His church in existence. He must have began His church prior to the time and scriptures that we see references to it. And again, I've still never heard a good explanation of these folks that say the church began at the day of Pentecost. And then on several occasions, the Lord talks to His disciples about the church. And He talks to His disciples about the organization of the church. And He talks to His disciples about how the church is to be maintained. Polity, we call it in theological terms. Well, the church had to have been in existence before then, or when the Lord was talking about the church, His disciples would have been scratching their heads. What's He talking about? What's a church? Well, they knew. They were a part of that church. Matthew 16:18, where the Lord says this. And I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock, which of course was Peter's profession, that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now the Lord told Peter, I will build my church. I literally shall be building my church. He'd already began the building of it, and He would be the one that would continue the building of it until its culmination. And specifically, again, in the matter of church discipline and church polity, the Lord spoke specifically on the matter of differences between the brothers and conflicts in the church. And in Matthew 18:17, the Lord said, you know, that you're to try to resolve these between one another, and bring another brother with you. And finally, He says in Matthew 18:17, and if he shall neglect to hear thee, tell it unto the church. Well, you know, all these evangelicals and whatever, they said, well, there wasn't a church. What was the Lord? What was the Lord teaching them? What were they thinking when He said that? You know, I still don't get how they operate that way. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. And if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. So the Lord formed His church from that prepared people by John the Baptist, a man with a special mission from heaven, and a glorious mission. And following that, after the Lord had formed His church from that prepared people who had received the baptism of heaven, the Lord says, is it of heaven or of men? Well, the Lord obviously thought it was of heaven. Now, the Pharisees didn't know what to say. Now, under the direct authority of Christ, that church continued to perpetuate that baptism that was sent from heaven. Here were baptized believers covenanted together in a church. And they carry out that command. They continue baptism under the authority of Christ. And He was visibly with them at that time. He was the first pastor. In John 4, we read about that in John 4, verse 1. And when therefore John knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John. Did I say John at the beginning there? And therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John. Though Jesus Himself baptized not, but His disciples. The Lord didn't baptize anyone. Oh no, you'd have these folks that, you know, that had this special baptism. The other disciples baptized folks, but Jesus baptized some, and you know, mine comes through that line. Those who receive baptism under the authority of the Lord's church are baptized believers. They covenant together to carry out the commands of Christ. And we see it was perpetuated. The disciples of Jesus baptized, well, they say the Lord. First it says the Pharisees heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples. But you see, He didn't do it Himself personally. But when they did it under the authority of the Lord Jesus, it was just as if He had. Jesus Himself baptized not, but His disciples. So under the authority of Christ, His disciples continued baptism, Christian baptism. Under the authority of Christ, under the authority of that baptized body of believers. A whole other matter there, and I guess you could make it a whole topic of a sermon, but there's something, you know, what about, you know, did Judas baptize anyone? You know? Or did he just say, oh, y'all do it, I'm not going to, because I'm going to betray the Lord later on. You know, no. I think Judas baptized. And even though he was a son of perdition, even though he wasn't a true believer, but he was baptizing under the authority of that church, of that body of baptized believers that were headed by Christ. It's just like today you hear people say, oh, you know, this preacher's been in the ministry for 20 years, and then he says, well, I wasn't saved all that time. I just now got saved. Okay? Now, what about all those people he baptized? You got to hunt them down? They need to be baptized again? No, baptism is not under the authority of me. It's under the authority of the Lord's church, that body of baptized believers. I'm getting a little bit astray, but, you know, those questions come up, and there's something to think about, I think, and to know, and to understand. Because if you put the authority in the man, well, then you've got a problem. Because, you know, we'll all disappoint you at one time or another. Hopefully not to the extent that Judas did, you know, but we'll all fail. But that's not what you're based upon. No, you're based upon the authority of heaven from John to the Lord's church. And that authority continues in the Lord's churches today. That's the authority by which people are baptized. The Lord's church, not the preacher. At the ascension, as He was returning to heaven, the Lord gave His commission to His church. He said this in Matthew 28:19. Go ye therefore. Go ye. Sometimes in theological discussions we call that the church ye. Go ye. Go ye therefore. And teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. The Lord gave that authority to His church to continue Christian baptism, to continue that baptism that had come from heaven, to maintain those things by the grace of God. Those things that had begun with that trailblazer, John the Baptist, who had received a commission from heaven, who had received a baptism from heaven, and who had had that grace to do that. And so we thank the Lord for the ministry of John the Baptist. We thank the Lord for His perpetuation of those things. We thank the Lord for bringing us together as one of His churches. And we thank the Lord that, you know, it doesn't rest upon us, but upon Him and upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll take our hymnals this morning, and we'll stand and sing together number 393, I'll Be Satisfied, 393.
That promised land of love, I'll be satisfied. Praising Christ the Savior for redeeming grace and love, I'll be satisfied. I'll be satisfied. I'll be satisfied. When my soul is resting in the presence of the Lord, I'll be satisfied. Living in a city where the soul shall never die, I'll be satisfied. There to meet with loved ones nevermore to say goodbye, I'll be satisfied. I'll be satisfied. I'll be satisfied. When my soul is resting in the presence of the Lord, I'll be satisfied. When I meet the ransomed over on the golden shore, I'll be satisfied. I'll join the angels singing praises evermore. I'll be satisfied. I'll be satisfied. I'll be satisfied. When my soul is resting in the presence of the Lord, I'll be satisfied.
Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day. Father, we thank You for this, Your assembly, as we reflect back upon Your faithfulness and the fulfillment of Your promises throughout the ages. Or as we think about the ministry of the first Baptist, and Lord, that commission You gave him from heaven. And Lord, by Your grace and Your grace alone, that You've made us recipients of that. You've made us a prepared people. Lord, You've formed us into one of Your churches. Lord, we pray You be with our brothers in Ireland as they covenant together next week. That You keep Your hand upon them as they go forward, that they might be a witness and a testimony for Thee. Father, we thank You for all that You do in our lives. Thank You, Lord, for one another, for our families, Lord, for all that You put on our plate. And Lord, I thank now my brother Pruffle, as he wasn't able to be with us because of vehicle problems. And Lord, we know that that's in Your hand as well. We just pray You be with him and help him to accomplish that's needful. Father, thank You for Your love that spans eternity. Thank You, Lord, for the sure knowledge we have that You're working Your perfect will in all things for the good of Your people. Lord, thank You for the strength to face another day, and Lord, we pray Your wisdom in it. Thank You for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank You for His atoning death. And we pray in his precious name. Amen.